Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may his Holy Spirit fill your hearts in the hearing of his word. Today's theme is generosity is the hallmark. And that is the word for today. This is the final Sunday of our three-week theme, Stewards Living a God-Pleasing Life. Our text comes to us from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, where Paul, after words with much conviction, commitment, and understanding of the faithfulness of God towards him, says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And that gift is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. A long time ago, there was a man who wanted to come to America, so he got together all the money he needed for a steamship passage before the days of airplanes. And he checked on the price of the ticket, and he had just enough to buy the ticket and then had a little money to get started in the U.S. when he got here. And as he prepared for the journey and made the decision to go, he decided that he would have to be very careful with his money on the way. And so he decided to save money on the meals on the ship. And so what he did was he gathered up crackers and cheese. And he thought for that week or so passage, he could survive on that. And then he'd have more money when he got here to live on. And so that's what he did. But the problem was, on the ship with the cold, salty air, the crackers all got soft and mushy. And then he found his cheese got really hard, and some of it turned bad. So he didn't have anything to eat. But he thought, I'll just make it. I'll just do it. But one day, as he stepped out of his cabin, he saw one of the stewards coming down with a tray of food, and it smelled so good. And so later on, he decided that he would have one meal on the ship up in the dining hall. So he caught up with that steward a little bit later on. He stopped him and said, "Sir, how much does it cost to eat in the dining room on the ship?" And the steward said, "Well, do you have a ticket?" And he said, "Yes, I paid for my ticket." And the steward said, "Well, sir, the meals are all included on this ship." How many of God's people are living as crackers and cheese Christians today? We're willing to settle for something. We may survive on it. We may get by on it. But all the while we're substituting crackers and cheese, there's this wonderful feast that's been prepared. Meal after meal is being served. And it's served up to you as God's people. And you are invited to receive the richness and the big portion and the bounty of God's grace and forgiveness and his love and everything else that God has planned for you. For those of you who've been on a cruise ship, well, I'm told that there's quite abundant meals there. Never done it quite myself, but I've heard a lot about it. How they have a meal, and then apparently they have a snack between the next meal, and then they have another meal, and then you have an afternoon snack, and then a late afternoon snack, and then you have your supper meal, and then there's a evening snack. And then what I hear on some of these lines, you have this big, fabulous spread there around midnight. Anybody come down and get it? In fact, there's food 24 hours a day. Now, that's the one that really got my attention, is the midnight snack, because I'm one of those people like go down to the refrigerator right before I go to sleep, see if there's anything there that might interest me. Think about all that food. And then crackers and cheese. Who wants to eat crackers and cheese all the time? Well, none of us do. They might be good, might taste good once in a while. You might like that. But regardless of that, the point is made that God is providing a wonderful, bounteous feast. And he makes a feast for us every single day of our lives. And we can take all that God has for us and gives to us in the way of his grace. There's no end to that beautiful, bountiful table that he sets before us of his grace. His love, his forgiveness, His presence in our lives. There's more because He gives for us in ways that we often don't even notice, or when we do, we even take it for granted. God provides it all. Truly, indisputably, the most generous giver of all is the God whom we call upon today in this service and praise. He gives us so much on a daily basis that we can't help but see that He has put it all there for us. This is not for somebody else. This is for us, for you and me, and we can then share it. And that's where generosity begins, reflecting His light, a spirit of sharing Him with others, a sense that God has richly blessed us. Generosity, friends, can be our hallmark also as followers of Jesus Christ. We've received everything we need for this life and for the life that's coming after this one. We have feasted on His word and sacrament. This we are able to receive and respond eagerly and joyfully by cheerfully and generously giving to those around us. God's love, seen in His giving, especially in the gift of His only Son, is something that motivates us to show our love through our giving. The Israelites of the Old Testament knew about God's goodness. On the way to the Promised Land, after leaving Egypt, they took all the things that they want. People were actually saying, "Here, go ahead. We know the power of your God after killing the firstborn and all the 10 plagues. Take our gold and silver with you when you leave." And when it came time in the wilderness to build the tabernacle, the place where God met with the people for worship, Moses asked for their offerings. And do you remember the response he got from the people? Goodness. The Israelites gave generously as they had been generously blessed. In fact, their response was so overwhelming, he had to tell them to stop giving. There was just too much. It's true. It says in Exodus 30, verse 6, Moses gave an order and sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. I don't know any pastor that's ever had to tell his people that. Stop bringing your gifts to the Lord. But hundreds of years later, King David experienced much the same. He was starting on a similar project, building the temple in Jerusalem, and so he gave the example by giving his personal treasures over to the Lord, and the people followed suit. And they rejoiced. The people rejoiced at the willing response that everybody had. Everybody wanted to give. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had freely given and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly." Again, you can see generosity is the hallmark of their giving. Now, during the time of Jesus, there was a man called Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. You know the story about Zacchaeus, how he at one time loved money, and Jesus changed his heart. Then Christ became the true love of Zacchaeus' heart. Instead of hoarding his money, he gave much of it away to those in need. Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, stands as an example to all of us today in generosity. Here, a man whose money was his God, as a chief tax collector, had cheated people out of their money, but generosity was the hallmark as he gave half his money away to the poor. He now saw money as a tool that could be used for good. Money was no longer an end in itself. And through his giving, he was honoring and praising Jesus. His giving was an outward expression of the heart inside him that Jesus had touched and changed. Then there was that widow who gave all she had at the offering time. She wasn't giving like the others who took a surplus, because this lady didn't have any surplus. She had nothing left, but she had God's gift of faith to trust in for her next meal. She relied on God's promise to her that he would never leave or forsake her. Generosity, folks, is the hallmark of these people and their responses. And it was made possible because these givers knew that all they had came from the Lord. David prayed these words. Listen, he said, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and majesty. For everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord. Yours is the kingdom. Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and we praise your glorious name." Wow. Now that's a prayer. Have we ever prayed like that? Have you ever prayed to God in that way? The prayer of those who are committed to respond as they have been blessed. Do you see your blessings in life? Or are you always worried about what you don't have or what you'd like to have but don't have now? Do you see the blessings that God has showered upon you? Never will you be without God's providence, his blessing, his watching over your shoulder, you might say, his protection, his love. Never will you have to stand before an angry judge who condemns you and sends you away because you have been given the gift of faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Never will you be homeless, for you have an eternal home in heaven. Later in the service today, we're going to have that opportunity to make our financial commitments to God through our church. Through our giving, we express our gratitude to God for his gifts to us and what he's done and continues to do for us. I think that giving is an expression of thanks as we think about the goodness of God to us. In those Bible accounts that we've just talked about, people gave whether they had much or whether they had little. Giving begins with the heart, and it reaches to the pocketbook and into the rest of our lives. Whatever we have to give, God can use that. Giving for Christians, really, though, it's not an option, but it is by God's grace that he makes us generous and cheerful givers. A story is told of an irate parent who on Sunday afternoon called up her child's Sunday school teacher. And she was very angry, and she said, "Is it true that you told the kids that they were all crazy, including my son?" And she demanded an answer. And this is what the teacher said. "Well, I didn't tell them they were crazy, but I did tell them that they needed to be committed." Crazy or not, that's my prayer today, that we would all be committed. Committed to the Lord. And that in our own lives we would see that. As we not merely come and speak to God with our words and our praise and our hymns, and think about him watching over us and caring for us, but I pray that we would show that commitment to him and to the cross and his love and his working in our lives. May we be granted by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his perfect purpose. And may many people see that it's indicative of our lives, how God is the hallmark of his work in us, that we are generous people. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have told us that we are your workmanship through Jesus Christ to do good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Lord God, don't let us miss one opportunity to use our time and our talents and our treasures so that you might accomplish your purpose. Keep us mindful that you have given us each unique and ordinary gifts, all of which you can use for your kingdom. Let generosity be our hallmark. Also, as we eagerly give our time, talents, and treasures to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.